Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 328, February 12th, 2009. Steven?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by the all-new 2009 Motorsports Memories, powered by Turbo Calendar, a pictorial tribute to the age and rage of the Turbo era. Incredible images in large format with historical information on drivers featured such as Ayrton Senna, Didier Pironi, Keke Rosberg, and Nigel Mansell, and many, many more. Get one from our merchandise page. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And, of course, we thank Motorsports Memories. On today's program, Ralf Schumacher gets a new ride, Peugeot and Bordeaux at Sebring, Mark Webber gets back in the saddle again, and Motorsports Mondial with Nasser Hamid. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you today?
Great. How about yourself, Mr. Rogers?
I'm just fine and dandy.
Dandy, too?
Dandy, wow. Too. Just like Mr. James Cagney. You know, when I see Ralf Schumacher in the news, it always picks me up a little bit. Yeah,
it's always good for
it makes my success look that much better. But stunning. I can't even believe they re-signed him, much less giving him a brand new 2009 C-Class Mercedes-Benz. Because apparently, and I didn't know that, but Ralf was saying, you know, it was his learning curve last year. And he didn't have a new car. They gave him a used one from the back lot. And that was the reason.
So he felt underappreciated and he was having all that trouble learning the new tracks or and the car. And give me a break.
Well, he's been re-signed and...
Are they paying him the same amount?
They didn't divulge any pain, but you know...
Financial
details? Yeah, and you know, he's pretty well set financially. I think he's going to be just fine.
Okay. He could have, you know, retired to a desert island with the contract he got from Toyota.
And my favorite quote is, Ralf Schumacher demonstrated that he was racing in the DTM with all his heart. So.
Is that Norbert Hogg?
It could have been Norbert. Mm. But at least, you know, he's German, he's in a Mercedes. And he's
got the last name that, you know, pulls some weight in Germany.
I don't think so. I don't think Michael pulls any weight with Ralf. Everybody knows where Ralf stands. He does have 6 Grand Prix wins. Let's not forget, he did have some success. So, I'm really happy for Ralf, and I almost wanted to put that picture of him.
Dig that one out of the archives and
exactly.
Throw it back up there?
It's funny because F1 Live, they use the same picture as well.
So you gotta keep your eyes out for what...
I think it's a French thing.
Get a picture of him in DTM doing the same thing in his Mercedes uniform.
Let's hope so, but I'm really happy for him, and of course... his wife, Mrs. Schumacher, is working and trying to get a deal where she'll be a paddock reporter.
Good old Cora.
And that way she could be at all the races.
And keep good old half Schumacher in line?
Something like that. I don't think he wavers too much. His wife is pretty good looking. And on the other hand, of course, when Peugeot announced that they were going to be at Sebring, coming to America where they don't sell Peugeot cars... So, I like that.
I think it's good for them. It's a good chance to shake down the new 908.
Yeah, which is an outstandingly good-looking car.
Yeah, and they had a little bit of trouble with it last year and weren't able to get through the entire race. But it gives them a good chance to run it flat out for 12 hours to see if they've got any bugs.
Of course.
Before they go to Le Mans.
And, of course, the new Audi R15 was out today, exclusive by Autosport.com, where the pictures show the car much sleeker and lower.
Mm.
But still convertible, unlike the Peugeot, which is a closed cockpit. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. A lot of people say one has more advantage than the other, but I'm not quite sure. But Nasser has just brought his chips and dip with him today. I think that's a comment on the food in the F1Weekly.com cafeteria. Nasser, welcome. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. And chips and salsa means buenos dias to everybody.
Exactly. So happy Mexican holidays to you.
Yeah, this is my pre-grid for my Cinco de Mayo celebration.
I know. We start early, Cinco de Mayo, our celebration of the French defeat in Mexico.
Well, that's not what I was going to say, but...
I know, but that's what I was going to say. So there you have it. So your thoughts on Ralphie Boy, because I know he's one of your faves.
Oh, absolutely.
You and Ralph were, you know, like this.
Yeah, but you heard the news that his brother took a fall.
A little bump on the head.
Yeah, he slipped on his bike in testing, and he was unconscious for a short time. But
right.
Good thing is, he's okay.
Went to the hospital, got the scans done. Yeah. They said, you're fine.
Yeah, we're talking Michael Schumacher here, folks.
No damage inside that there.
Yeah. You really think, you know, what has he got to prove? He's got all the money, all the fame.
No, but when you have everything, the only thing you have to prove is to yourself. He's, you know, sometimes a little
distant. That you are human, yeah.
And he likes to ride these kinds of motorcycles. I mean, me, you won't catch me on one of these things because I know I fall down.
Yeah. But it's a challenge for him. Basically, he kind of ran out of
challenges. And he wants to go fast, and these things do go fast. He's already admitted, and because of the testing ban, I mean, they'll lift a couple of days here and there. But he's not going to get into the F60 in 2009, because whatever testing they do have, they'll have to use very, very, very...
judiciously.
Definitely, with Mr. Raikkonen, Sleepy Man, and of course, Felipe Massa.
Okay, going back to your question on Ralph, well, you know, good for him, and it's true, you know, they use a year-old car also in the DTM, which is standard. You know,
I think that's great cost-cutting plan right there.
Yeah, and so he'll have a new car, C-Class, they say, and let's see how he does.
I think he'll improve. I think I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because I'm a nice person, and I always do this. I did it to Nelson Piquet, even though I fired him probably once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Ralph will maybe even hit a couple of podiums.
And the name should pull in some interest and some spectators.
Certainly in Germany, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, other places too.
Yeah, of course. I mean, a lot of people like... he's very popular in Japan as well, having raced over there, so...
Yeah, imagine if he comes here, it will bring a lot of crowd people, you know, to
you
see
think so?
Oh, of course.
You think Ralph's big here?
The people who follow Formula One, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Would you not be interested in seeing Ralph Schumacher?
Oh, I'd love to talk to Ralphie. I mean, if he comes here, you know, that would be cool. It's too bad the DTM don't do a U.S. leg. That would be good for Mercedes.
Funny you mentioned that because a couple of years ago I was talking to a couple of people at Laguna Seca. This was not an official capacity, just general conversation. And I brought up the issue, you know, why don't you guys... This is after they had lost the A1 GP and the IndyCar. I said, you know, why don't you, you know, the thing is, DTM is supported by Audi and Mercedes, and they're the only ones involved, and this is a big market for them, as is for everybody else. So I said, why don't you talk to the, you know, because Audi USA is a big network, a big
huge
program, like you, Volkswagen, and so is Mercedes. So I thought about, you know, I said, hey, this would be a good idea to bring, it's a nice, who wouldn't want to come to Laguna Seca in terms of location and the track? So it would be nice if they can do a non-championship race or a promo type.
I think it would be fantastic, and I think it would draw a big crowd.
Yeah, and you throw in a couple of good American, you know, not media nonsense that they do, but, you know, throw in good American drivers like Robbie Gordon, a couple of other people, Alex Gurney, in a couple of cars, and it will bring a lot of people.
That's a really, really good idea. I think you should push that thought. And Ralph himself says the DTM is the best touring car series in the world. Here we fight hard for every meter and every tenth of a second. As I know from many encounters in the paddock, the fans like this as much as me. From my point of view, the spectators don't get more value for their money in any other top racing series, unquote.
You know, another good idea I have that I'm trying to find the right people, and, you know, everything takes money and time and energy, is what they should do is have a serious U.S. version of GP2. Like they have GP2 Asia. They should have a GP2 America and race, you know, all the good road circuits here.
That's a good idea. You could
make it like GP2 West kind of, or, you know, Western Hemisphere, and race Canada all the way into South America.
Well, you know, best would be to just do Americas, and, you know, ideal would be to just do in, like, maybe Eastern Seaboard or Western Seaboard to save the money. But, you know, once you start talking about millions of dollars, another $50,000, $100,000 in transporting is not going to kill the deal. So have a U.S.-based series, and there's no shortage of tracks here. You know, Road Atlanta, Road America, Lime Rock, Laguna Seca, Sears Point, Long Beach Streetcar Race, Phoenix as a track, you know, Firebird in Chandler, Arizona. And they can put on a good show. Florida has a few tracks, Sebring, Daytona, you know,
there's
road
plenty
course.
Of tracks across this land.
Yeah, and then you badge the cars as Nissan, you know, powered by Nissan at I want to work on this project if I can find the right people.
Yeah, you could actually maybe just go to North America because you get a handful of really good tracks up in Canada too.
Yeah. That's the good open-minded thinking there, Steve.
We got some more open wheel fans north of the border too.
Exactly. Okay, were you as excited as I was when Brudet was confirmed by Peugeot?
I was
a bit surprised.
By Peugeot or by Toro Rosso?
Well, Toro Rosso was last week. But confirmed by Peugeot, and I'm surprised because these days with viability and things go wrong, accidents, do you want your Formula One driver racing in another series like they used to in the past? But today that's not done.
Yeah, but it's not like Toro Rosso is paying him $10 million to, you know, it's probably he's bringing the money.
I agree.
This deal could be to, you know, Bourdais is handled by Nicolas Todt. So, you know, who knows, these two side deals could be so he can make some money. But I was excited that he was doing Sebring because, you know, there's a chance I might be at Sebring, and I'm very interested in getting at least one interview with a, you know, current Formula One driver.
That would be terrific.
Yeah.
And we have a history with Sebastian Bourdais.
Yeah, and I met a couple of people from Peugeot Sport, you know, who were from Vélizy, and they had a very pretty girl there, and Dr. Mark Farrington and Peter Brazier saw her. Dauphine, I believe. So if she's there, and she went to school in Southern California, so maybe we can, you know, at least have a connection to Sebastian Bourdais.
Keep up the good work, Nasser. I like it. And let's not forget that it's more than a rumor, but apparently Ferrari may be testing their KERR system on a Peugeot 908. Because of the testing ban, they've got to find a new way to test this thing and get miles on it.
It actually makes sense.
And since Toro Rosso is powered by Ferrari, see, I connect the dots, Steve.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is why not just mount it on a, you know,
on a motorcycle somewhere?
Or a different Ferrari chassis and just run it around the track.
Keep up the good work, Steve. That would be cheating.
Putting it on a Peugeot is cheating.
Not really, because Peugeot might use it one day. Just trying to keep an open mind, Steve.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark Webber. Back in the saddle again. Pretty excited. He says he felt better than he anticipated of feeling. The car was wonderful. Everybody's excited. Sebastian Vettel tops the timesheets, even though there's only a few cars out there. Buemi was topping the timesheets.
Yeah.
But he's still running around in the 2008 Toro Rosso.
Well, that makes a little bit of difference.
Yeah, another 1,000 RPMs.
Yeah, exactly. Plus a heck of a lot more slippery car.
Yeah, a lot of little wings everywhere. So, I don't know. I thought they would trim down the car and make it look more like the 2009 spec car. But even the front nose is standard.
Yeah, last year. I think they would have widened out the nose at the very
least. I'm sure they're testing other items, so.
Their curves.
Good for Buemi. And he's getting some miles, which is really, really important.
But I like the way that, you know, Renault comes out and goes, Nelsinho was testing other parts.
Something like that. And, you know, some of these websites, problems for Renault again. There were very few problems. Everybody's running into a few bumps in the road. These are new cars.
Well, exactly. It's classic preseason stuff. You know, you get a car out there and, you know, somebody didn't get the tolerance part it bings.
I'm pointing to the Dutch websites because we know how they feel.
Yeah.
But Nelsinho's mom is Dutch, as you probably know.
My mom is Dutch?
Nelsinho's mom.
Yeah, she's Dutch. My wife is Dutch.
Good.
I can still critique the Dutch.
Good for you.
Yeah. Okay. But I thought the cars looked good. I'm already starting to get used to the new look.
Well, not only that, but you get that Red Bull.
Just the Red Bull looked great. Yeah. Did you guys like that video?
That was cool. That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
And thanks to Mr. Edwin van Doren of another Dutch listener of ours for sending me
that. I love the
link.
Dutch, Ness.
Good for you, man. I'm lucky for them, too.
Yeah. No, of course, other websites had it up and running pretty quickly. But I like the presentation. Red Bull, once again, the Red Bull Bulletin, which is a great newspaper.
That's gone.
Huh?
That's gone now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, they've gotten serious now?
Yeah.
Because that was a lot of good giggling.
Budget cuts.
I saved a few copies. I'll probably eBay next year because I'll need the money. But no, the Red Bull looks good. And I hate to say it, but I think they were right. It's pretty much the best looking car out there. I like it. I think it's a little bit better looking than the McLaren.
I agree, but I think it's very best-looking car. It's close between, in my opinion, between the Red Bull and the Ferrari. Ferrari is very nice-looking, too.
It is, but I'm still partial to the Renault.
The Renault power plant makes a difference.
Exactly. Not only that, but you know what they say in France? A big nose brings a lot of charm.
Yeah, De Gaulle proved that.
Is that why the Renault's got the biggest
exactly.
nose of the car so far?
Yeah. Look at all the nice chicks that hang around Karl Malden, huh?
Keep up the good work. The streets of San Francisco. Now, of course, the big bummer, and I thought, you know, these teams, BMW, Ferrari, Toyota, decided to go to one of your favorite places, Bahrain, because they, you know, the weather was a little bit rainy in Spain, mainly in the plains. So they went to Bahrain thinking, you know, it's the desert, it's going to be dry. And what happens?
And it is dry.
It's very dry.
But it's windy, too. Which
yeah, sandstorm. You can't see in front of you. So I love how nature plays her game. Yeah. It's going to be great.
And I'm sure that sand in the motor would not be a good thing.
Well, not only that, but yeah, those special air filters you have to bring to the desert. Is it really worth testing over there, Nasser?
I'm sure it is. That's why they go there. But, you know, things can go wrong anywhere. Proves the point.
Well, I think for them, too, it's a chance to go and get some hot weather testing, especially with the new cars and the way the side pods are reconfigured. You know, radiator overheating could conceivably be an issue this year with some of the changes, but doubtful, but could be.
Exactly. Felipe Massa was troubled with this sandstorm thing because he's just not getting enough laps. But still...
But does that testing time count against them, or is it time on track that is counted against your testing clock?
You know, I'm not sure, but you know, you're there for a small window of opportunity. You get there early in the morning, and by 9:48 a.m., it was stopped because the sand.
Was so bad. Plus, it will take a lot of time to clear the track, also with all the sand on the track. But you know, if you get if there's a sandstorm, that's the perfect time to listen to David Byrne, because once upon a time he had an album out called Sand in the Vaseline.
Keep up the good work, Nasser, for your wonderful commentary. Real quickly before we go to break, why is Gillette with Donington being pounded by everybody, negative-wise? What's going on? You just got back from England. What's the mood over there? Are they really anti-Donington? Do they want Silverstone back? Because the window, the Grand Prix, the British Grand Prix is scheduled at Donington next year. They don't have much time. Do you think it's going to happen?
I hope so, you know. I mean,
I hope so,
I mean,
too.
You know, my thing is, I like Silverstone, but if the contract has been, what I don't want is no British Grand Prix. So if it's going to be at Donington, so be it. But there's more on this in Motorsports Mondial.
Of course. You always have the meat and potatoes in Motorsports Mondial. See, we just start off at the beginning with the tapas.
Chips and salsa.
Exactly. So, excellent. And I thought it was interesting. They're saying that Gillette and DVLL has debts up to £66 million. With debt like that, it's not going to happen. But I think a lot of this is exaggerated. And once again, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
Well, it sounds a lot like somebody's trying to undermine the effort.
Well,
Donington, and maybe in an effort to try to get it back at Silverstone.
Well, it's going to be the Donington Silverstone gangs, you know, sort of like that East Side and West Side over here. It's pretty much the same. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break.
My only word of advice to Simon Gillette is stay away from Chelsea.
Okay, that's final words there for Mr. Gillette. Stay away from Chelsea, and we'll be back after this brief message.
F1Weekly.com would like to thank our sponsor, San Jose Label Inc. San Jose Label is a custom manufacturer of labels that makes a variety of products. 1-4 color process labels, alphanumeric barcoding and UPC labels, blank labels, serialized asset tags, hazardous labels, bumper stickers, pin feed, static cling, hot stamp labels, and many others. Please go to www.sanjoselabel.com for info, samples requests, and graphic design. Or you can call to telephone 408-436-8221. San Jose Label is the one-stop shop for all your labeling needs.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, the host of F1 Weekly. Thank you very much, Stephen. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial, with Mr. Motorsports himself, Nass, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you, sir. Regards to all the listeners from N'Djamena to Enstone, and we all know who is based there, Clark Rogers. Muy macho hombre de Italia, España y Britannia.
Exactly.
And I think we should also give an honorable mention to Poquito Macho Hombre de Brasil.
We should. Nelsino's giving it his best shot.
He is, and you know that's what one can ask
and
for any racing driver.
He has my full support.
I would like to see him and any other driver succeed. You know,
absolutely.
Nobody wants to
try one. F1 Weekly does not.
You're full support
failure
until he's out in Q1 in Australia, and then you're back all over him again.
Well, if he's not doing good by the first quarter of the season, then, you know, then I have to bring my ugly face.
Yeah, I wish him all the best, but I have a feeling. That in his second year, where everybody's expecting him to step up, which I think he will, and he will do much better. But I still think that he will once again prove, no matter how good he does, he will prove how good Alonso really is.
Of course. Well, Phil
and once he proves that, that will automatically prove how good Lewis Hamilton is.
And as you said before, it's really not great for anybody's career when you're going up against a Fernando, a Hamilton, a Schumacher. It could be detrimental.
Anyway, recipe for today's reportage, no more Turkish delight for Bernie. No sushi for Sato-san at the Red Bull Energy Station. Not even sure if they would let him in. But plenty of hot dogs at Daytona. The big show at the Big D is this weekend to kick off the 2009 NASCAR Sprint Cup. Are you going to watch at least 5 laps of the Daytona 500?
I'll watch some of it, and I may even pick up some Hebrew Nationals.
Please do. And, you know, I've watched every Daytona 500 since 1985.
Every one?
Yeah, the year of my arrival in the good old US of A. And I like the race. I enjoy it. And I will never forget the Icky Woods shuffle that Darrell Waltrip did when he won the Daytona 500. That's one for the ages. And you can see this on YouTube.
That's fine. I have enough mental images about the Daytona 500.
Which one is your favorite?
I don't have a favorite.
Oh, they're all your favorites.
I don't think I've ever seen Renault run in the Daytona 500.
Yeah. Well, a Jaguar has won a NASCAR sanctioned race long time ago.
Back in
the 50s.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say against the Hudsons and all the good stuff.
Yeah. So when Toyota won, they were making references to that last time. And
oh,
the
did
US.
They?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, you know, I'm really waiting during the season for the Larry McReynolds All-Star Barbecue live on Speed TV for hours and hours. And I have, free advice and suggestions are given here at F1 Weekly. No charge to calling a logging party. I think you should also do an all-long marathon of Clark Rogers or podcasters fondue.
It's possible, but I know one thing, Nasser. I've got a funny feeling that on weekends you're driving a Toyota pickup truck.
No, I just have one vehicle.
I don't know. The way this stuff is sounding, I see a pickup in your future, at least.
No, it's a Daytona weekend. You know what they call the Great American Race? That's how it's built.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it. And actually, I watched quite a bit of past weekend, too.
NASCAR?
Oh, absolutely. NASCAR and ARCA.
Your favorites.
Oh yeah, and talking of Daytona, this was really impressive, and this was one of the main reasons I watched it. This is close to home. I'm very happy to say we had a homie in Saturday's ARCA race. You remember Noor Ali?
Of course. He's from my favorite place.
Yeah, Karachi. He was born in Karachi, spent some years in Germany, and now living the high life in Dallas. You know, he's the guy who drove for A1 Team Pakistan.
Correct.
Some years ago. And he has now gone into ARCA Racing, ARCA Remax Series, that is. And he ran in top 10, and I must say, you know, because he did not elect to pit, so he came into the top 10. But he was hanging in there. But he was a victim of mayhem after one of many cautions during the Lucas. Yeah, caution. They have an ARCA
season's
also.
Coming. I can feel it.
Oh, yeah.
Tire fire.
Yeah, the race was called Lucas Oil Slick Mist 200. And the race itself was won by 18-year-old James Buescher over another teenage sensation, Joey Logano. And we all know by now who that is.
Yeah.
This guy is going to be a mega
Logano
star.
Logano is very talented.
Yeah, he is going to be a mega superstar in this country in 2 years.
Yeah.
He will be racing this year with Joe Gibbs Racing, also, in, of course, in the Daytona 500, replacing Tony the Tiger Stewart, who has now moved on to his own team. Talk about filling big shoes, but that's what they said when Monty replaced Zanardi in IndyCar racing at Chip Ganassi. And we all know how Monty performed in the IndyCar series.
I'd like to see Logano get an F1 test, just for me. Maybe he could get it through Frank Williams.
Well, he's a Toyota driver, so they can put them
exactly.
In TF109.
I'd like to see that. I think he's got a lot of talent.
No, he's very talented, just like Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch is very talented.
Turning left and right is within his capabilities.
I think so.
I just have a thing about an oil slick mist race.
That's bizarre. Like a lot of slipping and a sliding.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, winner of Easy on the Ice competition was Ellie Owens. She started from front row but was also caught up in the crash fest. Ellie is originally from Daytona but has now relocated to Charlotte, North Carolina. And I wonder, only wonder, if our man Jackson is doing her accounting, I am told through the forum that he's a CPA, or so I think. So he must be good with figures.
Exactly. Once we get some digits in front of those zeros, we might have to get Jackson to do our accounting.
Yeah.
We've got plenty of time for that.
He'll be looking for money in all the books. But anyway, the Burt Shootout was won by Kevin Harvick of Bakersfield, California, the onion capital of the world. And this weekend, of course, season opener, Daytona 500, will have Martin Truex on pole position. Monty is on row 2, and Scott Speed 17th, A.J. Allmendinger, both kids from this part of California. A.J. was 35th. And, of course, the best part of the race will be, Darrell Waltrip will say, from Boogity Boogity, we go to Sebastian Bourdais, and you already mentioned that he will be racing at Sebring and also at Le Mans with Peugeot, apart from his F1 duties. He's one person whose job was saved by the financial meltdown. According to four-time champ car driver, he kept his job as the budget for a season of F1 dropped significantly, which it has. And Takuma Sato, on the other hand, is not a happy camper, saying he will continue to find ways to get back into Formula One. He has been supported by Honda throughout his career, so I don't think Sato-san will find any offer of green tea at Toyota. And Sato is managed by ex-racing driver Andrew Gilbert Scott. And I remember Andrew Gilbert Scott when he was in Formula Ford.
Keep up the good work, Nasser, but I feel sorry for Sato. He's going to have to realize eventually that, you know, with Honda pulling out of F1, Sato's getting older. He was great for the fans. I loved him when he was at Jordan, Super Aguri. All that was great stuff. Of course, passing Fernando at the Canadian Grand Prix, which...
I'm sorry, I did not hear that.
Exactly. Passing the McLaren at the Canadian Grand Prix, I'm sure, is the pinnacle in Sato-san's life. But he needs to move on. Open up a couple of restaurants or something.
I have two words for Sato-san. Speed car.
Speed car. I mean, there's other alternatives. You never know. I mean, he could maybe race in the IRL, powered by Honda.
I think that's what reality will do to him sooner or later. But talking of Bourdais and Sebring, you know, there's a good chance if all the stars and bars align, Moa might be at Sebring. And
if you're at Sebring, Bourdais is very approachable.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, interviewed by Clark Rogers.
The host of F1Weekly.com. That, le charming dude.
It would be a great thing to bring up, too, because you asked him about Formula One.
Not only
when
that.
We thought he didn't have a chance.
Well, he thought he didn't have a chance, and that's when Mario Tyson, had spoken to him, and there was chances, and then there was some talk in the press about people who wear glasses, you know, and I even asked him about that. He was pretty cool, very approachable. You go to Sebring, you're getting some killer interviews. But the whole driver lineup at Peugeot, I think, is exciting. Brabham.
Yeah.
Sarrazin. All the machismos.
Yeah, household names in Sebring in America, right?
Yeah, exactly. Too bad for Jacques Villeneuve. Obviously, he's been dropped, but they've got some great talent. I think Peugeot is going all the way.
Okay, Mr. Berwin. Okay, Istanbul was Constantinople, but the Grand Prix may not be so constant there. Bernie has served notice that current contract may not be renewed after 2011. Here goes another good track.
Yeah, especially after all the money they put up to build it in the first place, and now Bernie's going to...
Not only that, but everybody loved this track.
Yeah.
They called it the Spa
exactly.
of the East. Great track.
And that three apex turn, just sweet.
And that the beautiful city of Istanbul, Constantinople. Istanbul, Constantinople. This stuff blows my mind. What are we going to do? We're going to have a race in India and Korea.
Well, you know, I'm not aware of it, but there might have been a certain gush of oil and interest in Formula One in Fiji or Burkina Faso and Bernie.
Yeah, one of my favorite places.
Yeah, exactly.
No, this is, you know, and this is one of the new tracks that has a little bit of that old charm. Nice track, good-looking, nice city, good background, great atmosphere.
You know, when racing drivers start comparing this track to Spa and Suzuka, you know Tilke has done a good job, finally.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's one of the few tracks that he's really put up of his last five that is a really good track.
This is
and
a good
technically
track.
Challenging.
Yeah.
It's just what drivers want, but of course that doesn't count.
But you know, right after it was built up, it was they ran into a financial situation, so he is now renting the track basically from the Istanbul Chamber of Commerce and promoting the race. So he can pull the plug anytime he wants anyway. But well, my understanding is that there is a clause in the contract that he has to give 3 years notice. So that's why he has served the notice, which he may or may not take. But the thing is, you know, the way economy is going worldwide, I am sure if Turkish government doesn't want to pay $30 million a year, he may find some sucker who may pay $40 million. And if that is Burkina Faso, so be it.
Exactly.
But this really, you know, I'm not happy about this kind of stuff, you know, taking races from good tracks and good locales. So what are you going to do, though?
We have no power.
Yeah, exactly. US F1 on Speed Report last Sunday on Speed TV, Bob Washer, voice of Formula One for US TV audience, said that rumors of American base. You know what? Bob Washer may be at Sebring, too. Might be a good opportunity to interview him.
Yeah, because he lives in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And that's an easy jaunt.
Yeah, and he was kind enough to, I had sent him a couple of emails each time he responded, which is very kind, and I thank him for that. And he mentioned to me that, you know, I'll be happy to do an interview whenever you guys are ready. So it will be good to see him there and do it in person, you know.
I see more zeros coming your way.
Good. Anyway, he mentioned that, and he should know, you know, because Peter Windsor is Pit Lane reporter for Speed TV, that these rumors are actually
I'm
more
sure
than that.
Exactly.
Yeah, and, you know, it's Max Mosley has confirmed that an American group is interested in entering F1. Ken Anderson, who is the key player behind US F1, is quoted as saying there are several American drivers, and this I would like to know some names from him. He said there are several American drivers, well, I should say he's being quoted as saying this, that several American drivers are doing well in Europe that people in the States are not aware of. And apparently they're even talking to this team called Ypsilon Euskadi. It's based in Spain, and there is this guy some people would know. I'm sure Evan Vandora knows this guy. Joan de Villa del Prado. It's a big, long Spanish past name, I think. He's been around. He was with Schumacher at Benetton, engineer, and I believe Sergio Rinland, who was another long-time engineer originally from Argentina, they're involved with this team. It's a very well-established team. And if I'm not mistaken, Robert Kubica, when he won the former World Series by Renault. I think it was with this team. So they are the key. I hope this project takes off. I hope this succeeds. And everything.
And I know that there were three names mentioned in one of the articles I read.
In terms of?
Of the drivers.
Who were they?
One of them was Summerton.
Jonathan Summerton, okay.
The other one was...
Charlie Kimball?
Yeah, I think so. And then I don't remember who the third one I hadn't heard of before.
Yeah. And so what is happening here, this is off to a good start. You know, I've always said here, you know, you don't want people who are millionaires and billionaires with no passion promoting motor racing. But here you have Ken Anderson, who was part owner of that wind tunnel, I think it's called. And the Peter Windsor, no stranger to motor racing. And if they're involved with this Ypsilon Euskadi team as a European base, this thing can only succeed if they keep bringing in the right people. What I don't want to see this thing is turn into a circus, you know. Oh, bring in Danica Patrick, so she's going to get us a lot of press.
Yeah, two of the names at the end of it were Patrick and
Marco
Andretti.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'm like, neither of those guys are going to be interested in jumping to a team.
No, you know,
if they have a season of success, mm-hmm. then I can see those guys trying to jump on board.
Yeah. Well, what do you do is you bring one American driver, young American driver, and bring, you know, Jenson Button is available, and all they have to do is bring him here, have him have some hot dogs with Jeff Bodine, and he'll be a turncoat, you know. He already speaks English.
Exactly.
But
just give him a green card, he'll be an American.
Yeah, expedite his green card, and, you know. But, you know, they should really get some driver who has experience and don't worry about his nationality or ethnic background, and then get a young American driver.
Also, a good person, a good driver, is Joey Logano.
Yeah, but, you know, he's not going to give up a $15 million contract to have somebody tell me, yeah, you bring $2 million, I'll put you in a car that has not yet even been designed.
Depends on how much passion he has for motorsports. If it's anything like yours...
I think we already know that, based on where he is today. And nothing wrong with that, you know.
Okay. Just thought I'd mention it, Nasser.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. From another new team to another new series. This is amazing. Even now, you know, in this time here. ItaliaRacing.net. And I won't take the name of the driver here. ItaliaRacing.net is a website that is pretty frisky. They give out information much earlier than anybody else. Mostly it's in Italian, but they have their English section also, which is updated maybe a day or two later. But, you know, you can read the headlines and try to figure out. So what happened recently, some mention was made that a driver has signed a certain team, and I'm in touch with him, so I sent him an email, and he said to me that, it's not official, but it will be. But this magazine always seems to find out before everybody else. He said, it is true, but and he even said to me, if you want to mention it on the podcast, you can do that.
You've gotten permission?
Yeah.
But they probably have a secretary's network or something.
Yeah.
And
I said to him, I says, no, you know, I won't do that till you put out a release. And they have since then. But it's just like Robin Miller here. He's not correct 100%, but most of his information is fairly accurate, and
at least based in fact at some point.
Exactly. So anyway, ItaliaRacing.net is reporting that the new car from Dallara for GP3 will start testing in June of this year. The 300 horsepower engine will be turbocharged like the F2 engine and may come from either Fiat, Mercedes or Honda, who are currently providing engines to the Formula Master Series. I've even heard reports that Formula Master Series will be branded as GP3, and of course GP3 is Bernie's way of getting back at Bernie's Formula 2.
You mean Max's?
Max's, yeah. Yes, Mr. Mosley's...
whipping boy.
Yeah. Oh, wow, I don't want to say that. I'm trying to get F1 credentials, so I'm not going to use such certain
You're
words.
Right. It's going to be harder to get F1 credentials from F1 Weekly as we continue.
All I can say, I do like whipped cream. That's all.
There you go. Well, see, you might be able to. You need to get in through the back door, Ness.
Yeah.
And there's going to be steps going down.
Whoa. Okay, according to, you know, this was very interesting, and this would be quite a news for people who think there are not good drivers in America. According to driverdb.com, which is another great website for stats on racing drivers, and according to this website, among drivers who are 21 or younger, an American driver leads the ranking of future stars. There's a segment like a tab, future stars, by number of wins and percentage. And this kid's name is, and I've been following his career for a couple of years also, Carl Skerlong from Washington State. and he has 31 wins from 63 starts. So, which is almost a 50.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and he's
close to
50%.
Yeah, it's very impressive. This year he will continue in Formula Atlantic. A second is Nico Hülkenberg, with same number of wins, but 31, but from 106 races. Third, fellow German and soon to be what I would term 2009 Cage Rattler of the Year, Sebastian Vettel. 30 wins from 120 starts, highlight of which has to be the victory at Monza last year in the Italian Grand Prix, where he was the youngest Grand Prix winner and youngest pole winner. And our man from local Northern California area, Alexander Rossi, last year's Formula BMW Americas and World Finals champion, is fifth with 29 wins from 71 starts, giving him an impressive 40% winning percentage. So you have to, you know, put in these performances to get noticed. But you know what is interesting? I was thinking ART, you know, Nicola Todd's operation in F3 Euro Series, they will have Jules Bianchi in his second year. This is the kid who beat Hülkenberg in the rain at Masters, Formula 3 Masters. This kid, Valtteri Bottas from Finland, who won the Formula Renault Europe Series in a very dominating fashion, and he is Nicola Todd's client. And also, you know what I would like to request, South America has a major SUDAM championship, and I think Brazil has a big stock car championship, or any other country that, like Japan or Holland, they have a big series and they want to let us know what happened, or any major news. You know, it's hard for me to get anything and everything in. If somebody wants to send us an email, we'll be happy to mention what's happening in their neck of the woods.
Yeah, well, most of those, I know Japan, most of the websites covering those races are in Japanese, so you can't get the information. And then the stuff in South America may not have much website coverage, or at least not on websites that we know of.
He's keeping an open mind, Nasser.
I'm trying to keep an open mind, too. Thank you.
Email us.
Yeah. Okay, where are we now? A day in court for Donington. And you touched on this, and we'll have a little bit more on this later. According to Financial Mail, ex-chief operating officer of Donington Park, Lee Gill, is taking legal action against chief executive officer Simon Gillette. Apparently, after he was cut, Gillette did not provide smooth shave. And, there are two sides to the story. Some press is very harsh on Donington. Some are saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, everything is working and things will work out. Just give these people some time. So let's see what happens. And there's a little bit more in one of the references later in the program. But next we come to the Southwest Airlines segment. You are now free to move around the country. Restrictions on how I remember these folks, Nigel Stepney and Mike Coughlin, have been lifted by FIA. And that was a very interesting quote here. These were to last until July of this year. Stepney is now working at onboard camera from GigaWave. And Mike Coughlin, who had to return his Kinko's preferred customer card, is now working for transmission specialist Ricardo. Max Mosley said, and I quote, "It does seem a little bit mad to make them serve out even longer when the two teams concerned are all making love to each other."
You know what?
End of quote. One at a time. One at a time. One at a time.
This time, Max makes perfect sense, and it's the right thing to do. These guys are talented. They made some mistakes, but we forgive our talented engineers, and we move on. Sacré bleu.
Low sail circuit in Qatar, or whatever you want to call it, will this weekend feature lights, camera, and action in the speed car and GP2 series, GP2 Asia, that is, as both will race under the stars for the first time. I would love to see Nico Hülkenberg win a race in GP2A, you know, this weekend. He was on the pole for his first GP2 race. Now, that is machismo. Okay,
I agree.
Yeah,
I mean, we know he's talented.
Yeah, he is very talented. He's very good. And both these series are racing under the stars for the first time. And talking of Hülkenberg, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. I've never been so excited about the whole umbrella of motor racing as I am for this year, because in Formula 1 we have a lot of rule changes, a lot of things that are happening. We'll see how Buemi does, how Sebastian Vettel does. GP2, I'm looking forward to the Hülkenberg and Grosjean battle. And
I think that's going to be a good battle.
Yeah, and I think this Japanese kid, Kamui Kobayashi, I think he might surprise. He's not Grosjean quick or Hülkenberg quick, but he can run with them, which is important. You have to stay in the game. So he might spring a few surprises. F3 Euro Series I already mentioned. Another thing we have not mentioned today, at least, is the U.S.-based Formula Atlantic Series. This guy, rich guy, Ben Johnston, bought the series from Kevin Kalkowan and Gerald Forsythe or whatever, you know, some other of his billionaire friends. And they have come out with a very interesting package, $1 million to the winner, $500,000 to the second place, first place every race, $50,000, quite a few perks there. And so it will bring some good drivers. So I'm really looking forward to some serious cage rattling on this side of the pond also. Rattling can happen anywhere.
I agree. It even happens here at F1 Weekly.
Yeah, especially at the Holiday Inn lobby, which will always remain my favorite moment with Clark Rogers. But just one thing, folks, when you meet Clark Rogers, never ever mention the website of a competitor. The secret is out. That's all.
I'm sensitive. That's all.
I know. Instant Vandenberg Air Force Base.
But we're still good friends. That's the best part.
Oh, of course. Okay, Ralf Schumacher, you have already mentioned that he will race and his wife will be there. And this comes to this, we were talking about the Donington versus Silverstone Schumacher. This is what we call recommended readings on the web. And no, this is not a commercial endorsement. Nobody is sending us a check. Just public service message to motorsports fan. And I say this because, you know, a lot of time people refer to things like Alvin sending us that link that I may not be aware of. So I appreciate all the feedback we give. You know, somebody has posted the information on SI and Danica. You know, if you're
some of the stuff I find first on our forum before I even go to the website.
Yeah, I mean, those pictures, you know, if you're having a tough day at work, boss is on your case, just go on a forum and ooh, Danica, baby, whatever it is, click on and check out some, turn the page of SI, and your mind and soul will be at peace. Okay, so these are readings from some different websites on GrandPrix.com, and of course I've read them, that's why I'm recommending that people might be interested in. Two interesting stories. One is under the heading, NASCAR men earning as well as most F1 drivers. This is very impressive, but this is nothing new. They've been making a lot of money. They make a lot of money from merchandising also. So good for them, and we wish them all the best. I hope they make $1 million from their NASCAR patch calendar. I'm sure you'd like to know, Greg, see a picture of Greg Biffle's Chihuahua.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay, second segment which I would recommend on GrandPrix.com is called Beating Up Donington Park. And this has a lot of information which people who would know these things would write. And they're making a pretty strong case, at least this story for Donington, that whatever this guy has said has done so far, and things will take time. On itv-f1.com, please check out. This will be very good for people who are technically minded. Unfortunately, I'm not one of those. This is a interview with Charlie Whiting on the new rules and an in-depth Q&A covering anything from curse to safety car rules for the 2009 season. On pitpass.com, a different perspective is presented by Mike Lawrence in his feature called Smoke and Mirrors. And for a knockout story, there is info on speedtv.com under Evander Holyfield is investor in new team. Holyfield and his business partner Eddie Smith are buying the assets of Chip Ganassi's nationwide series team, which used to be known as Busch Series. And with that, my round is over. Thank you for listening, and ta-ta.
Ding, ding. Thank you, Nasser. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now we go straight into the wrap-up. Motorsports Memories 2009 powered by Turbo Calendar is almost wrapped up. But we have a few more left, so please get them while you can. Of course, we know the photography is outstanding. And the best part is the reading material. The captions, three different languages. It doesn't get better than that. Am I wrong here?
You are never wrong, Mr. Rogers.
Marin Karting is proud to organize and support the 2009 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. Marin Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and track side support to Northern California carters. For more information, contact Marin Karting at 415-898-0999 or at www.marincarting.com. I want to mention quickly our Facebook and MySpace sites. I don't have much time to go there, but please check it out and make us your very good friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcasts, email us at info@f1weekly.com. And you know what? Cross-promoting is great. We cross-promote, and it's gratuit. Everybody gets a little love. So think about it out there. Cross-promoting is wonderful, and of course, any kind of advertising is welcome. Contracts are ready to be signed. So there you have it. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. I certainly want to thank my staff here at F1 Weekly. It's nothing but the best. I want to thank Steve, Nasser, David Tapia, the executive producer, and of course, Toby Dawes, who does a wonderful job with the website. Good night.
Bye-bye.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, recording and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.